Dr. Mom Butt Balm is a pediatrician-approved skin protectant free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide. It was developed by a mom who is also a doctor when she couldn't find any traditional products that worked for her baby's persistent diaper rash. Diaper rash can be one of the worst experiences your little one has to go through, and keeping their delicate skin happy and healthy shouldn't require a spatula to apply thick, goopy treatments that can be just as irritating and uncomfortable as the diaper rash itself. Use just a small amount of Dr. Mom Butt Balm to help soothe your baby's skin and feel good about making the right choice. Dr. Mom is committed to providing an ultra premium formula for moms who will not settle when it comes to their little ones. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with simple, quality ingredients, no artificial dyes or preservatives, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Head to Amazon.com or Walmart.com to grab Dr. Mom Butt Balm because nothing comes between you and your baby, especially not diaper rash.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah Baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
This is a lovely birth story episode of an unmedicated hospital birth. Welcome to the All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, a board-certified OBGYN who's been in practice for nearly 15 years. I've had the privilege of helping over 1,000 babies into this world, and I'm here to help you be calm, confident, and empowered to have a beautiful pregnancy and birth. Quick note, this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for medical advice. Check out the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is episode number 214. Whether you are a new listener or a returning listener, I am so glad that you're spending some of your time with me today. In today's episode of the podcast, we have Jade. Jade lives in Richmond, Virginia, right here where I live with her husband, Sean. They have two daughters, Corey and Savannah. We're going to hear about Savannah's birth story today. Jade works for a nonprofit focusing on school readiness, and her husband is a high school teacher. Yes, I love it. I have a soft spot for teachers. I have lots of educators in my family. Jade is a busy and active mom. She spends a lot of time with extracurricular activities for her older daughter, but in her spare time, she enjoys exploring new restaurants with her close girlfriends. Yes to new restaurants and good food. Now, wanting a different experience from her first birth, Jade chose to be seen by midwives for her second pregnancy, and she also found a doula in an effort to create a more positive environment surrounding her labor and birth experience. However, when she experienced an extremely challenging pregnancy, it made her question if she was really ready for an unmedicated birth. She had 9 months of nausea. She had severe pelvic and groin pain that often left her immobile, actually. And because of anemia, she had awful cravings for chalk and hand sanitizer. Yes, that is a real thing. It's something called pica. And then on top of that, she didn't have great support from her doula. It got to be non-existent towards the end of her pregnancy. Well, despite all of those challenges during her pregnancy, Jade ended up having a very short labor and a baby almost being born in the car had she not trusted her body. You're going to hear about all of that today. Her story really conveys how a challenging pregnancy does not automatically mean that you will experience a difficult labor and birth. And she also wanted to be sure that people understood that even if you have support to guide you, which is super duper important, then you really must trust your instincts and listen to your body. You're going to hear how that really served Jade well for her to have that great birth experience for her baby girl, Savannah. All right, now before we get into the episode, let me say a quick word about podcast sponsors. You will hear sponsored ads in episodes of the podcast, and I want to just share that having sponsors really helps me to continue to bring this podcast to you for completely free. That is something that I will always, always, always want to do. And not only does it do that, but it's actually an opportunity to learn about great products and get some great deals too. Because you see, I am very, very particular about who sponsors the podcast and who I accept as podcast sponsors. I don't accept everyone. Actually, I get lots of requests for sponsorship. And I don't accept any sponsors that I don't believe will be valuable to you. So check out the podcast sponsors, check out their websites, check out the things that they have to offer, because I think you can find some great things there for you. Okay. With that being said, let us go ahead and jump into this birth story episode with Jade. Thank you so much, Jade, for agreeing to come onto the podcast. I am really excited to hear your story today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to share.
Yeah. So why don't you start off by telling us a bit about yourself and your family?
Yeah. So I'm 30. I live in Chesterfield with my husband and our two girls. I work in finance for a nonprofit here in Richmond. And my husband is a high school teacher. He teaches special ed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. I have a soft spot for teachers. My mom and both my sisters in education, and my younger sister's in special, was a special education teacher. She's an assistant principal now. So I don't know how teachers do it.
No.
So.
Yeah. He comes home from work and he's just exhausted because we have two young ones and he's like, oh, right. I have to do it all over again. So it's like a stop for him.
Exactly. Exactly. And small world, we are in the same area.
Okay. Yes. We are right off of kind of like that midpoint from Chesterfield going into Midlothian, so near Manchester Middle School.
Okay. I guess in the same area, so much as Richmond. I'm more in Henrico County.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right. So why don't we start off, you know, in order to understand what people's births are like, we got to understand what the pregnancy was like. And yours sounds like it was a bit of a challenge. Which we're going to hear. So what was your pregnancy and prenatal care like?
Yes, a very challenging pregnancy, which I found very odd because this was a planned pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I went to my then OB just to make sure everything was looking well for me to, you know, for us to try. Uh-huh. I was working out, I was eating healthy. So I'm like, yes, I'm prepared, I'm ready.
Okay. So even before you got pregnant, you went and said, I want to make sure I'm in good shape, I'm in good health, everything to be ready.
They had me start my prenatals. Uh-huh. They had me tracking ovulation. Right. I had a calendar.
Okay.
But as soon as I got pregnant, it was like my body did the complete opposite. It was almost as if I wasn't prepared. I was sick the entire pregnancy. I had to be placed on nausea medication. So I hope I'm pronouncing this right, but Diglegis.
Uh-huh.
So it didn't help as much. And they switched me over to Zofran, which worked wonders. It was almost like a miracle drug for my nausea, but I had the side effects, which landed me in the hospital.
Okay. So what kind of side effects did you have?
I had severe constipation to the point where I could not move. I couldn't use the bathroom for about a week, and it was causing me a lot of cramping, especially within my thigh area. And I don't know if it was pressing on a nerve, but I was on the floor, couldn't get up, had to call my mother-in-law to assist me. My husband had to come take me to the hospital. And unfortunately, it resulted in receiving an enema. But I mean, I had no type of relief. And when I followed back up with my midwife, they was like, unfortunately, that is a side effect of Zofran. So I had to completely stop the Zofran, and then bam, nausea comes back.
Oh my gosh. So you were in the hospital because of constipation.
Yes. Yes.
And the enema, did it not help at all?
It took a while. Okay. I was in the hospital for about 5 hours trying to get relief. It was I couldn't even explain that pain if I wanted to. I've never experienced anything like that before. And I mean, it was very...
Yeah, TMI, I guess. I had constipation after having a surgery once when I got my tubes taken out so I won't have any more children. And I cannot explain, like, constipation is awful. Yes. It is really, really bad. And you just like, it's just a terrible feeling. So I can commiserate with you in that regard.
So in addition to the nausea, constipation, I also had a lot of pelvic pain. It left me, you know, I wasn't able to get out of bed. I wasn't able to walk. I would get a shooting pain. And my midwife actually recommended that I start seeing a chiropractor, uh-huh. which was amazing. Mm. I went to a chiropractor that specialized in working with pregnant women, right. Prenatal, postpartum. Right. They also exist with children. Right. And I received those adjustments every week until I gave birth.
Okay. Yeah. And that just did work miracles.
It did. I was able to stand up straight. Right. I wasn't leaning over. I wasn't constantly lifting up my belly to receive relief. So it was great. And I do commend that the doctor that I saw, because I give her all the props for me going into labor as quickly as I did. Right. You have to help me have a smooth labor. And, you know, my Savannah was breech, and she did like the baby mapping to help assist with turning the baby and getting her in a good position. So it was great. I really had great care leading up until, you know, it was time for me to deliver.
So this is your second pregnancy. Did you have these problems with your first?
No, my first pregnancy was so easy. I still had the nausea, but as far as like the challenges, there weren't any. I just kind of waddled around until it was
gotcha. Gotcha. And how much difference in between the two is there?
So there are 7 years.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's not like crazy. I mean, it's a good amount of time, but still. And do you feel like you're in different health compared to the different pregnancies?
Well, with my first, you know, I wasn't really big on working out or eating healthy. It was definitely unplanned. It was kind of I'm pregnant now. We're just going to, you know, enjoy the ride. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, you know, I've reached the age where I want to, you know, consider my health a little bit more. I'm working out. So I really thought it was going to be easier. Everybody told me, you know, you work out, it'll be a smooth delivery. You eat healthy. Right. It'll result in having like a smooth birth. And my birth was horrible.
Okay.
The pregnancy was horrible. I don't want to say the birth, sure. But the pregnancy.
Gotcha.
The journey was horrible. Gotcha. I was ready for it to be over.
Okay. 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 And you said you saw midwives. What you said you started with an OB, and then did you switch to midwives? Like what happened there?
Yes. So with my first pregnancy, I thought I found a great OB. I thought I enjoyed the care, but they had a tendency to make me feel as what was occurring was my fault. So I was very small when I got pregnant. I was about maybe 100 pounds. So when I got pregnant, I didn't gain that much weight. And towards the end of my pregnancy, they were stating that the baby was measuring small. I wasn't gaining enough weight. I need to eat more. I'm putting my baby at risk. And it was just kind of like, you are. And there wasn't really many solutions.
Gotcha.
I had to go to an anatomy ultrasound every week. And the feedback was very inconsistent. I had one tech tell me, well, you're small, so of course your baby's going to measure small. I don't expect you to have, you know, a large baby. Mm-hmm. And then I go back the following week and it's, oh, we're going to induce you. You have to have this baby. You're not gaining weight. You're risking having a C-section by keeping her in. So I was induced with my firstborn.
Okay.
And I didn't want to go through that again. I wanted to feel very much supported and listened to and explain to me what was going on with my body if, you know, because I wasn't understanding what was being told to me.
Sure.
So I did a lot of research this pregnancy. I searched for a lot of OBs, and I came across midwives because I wanted to have a natural birth. That was one of the key aspects of my pregnancy, you know, natural birth. And originally I wanted to go with and at home, but my family was kind of adamant and a little nervous. So I was trying to figure out, how can I have a birth my way, but still be in a safe environment?
Sure.
VCU midwives offered that to me, and their staff was amazing.
Okay. Okay. So you felt like you had great care with
them. Yes. I explained to them what happened in my previous journey, and they was like, oh no, we're not going to focus on, you know, your weight. We're going to focus on you and making sure that you're okay and that your family's okay. They really incorporated my spouse and my daughter. They asked him how he was doing, how he was handling the pregnancy. They asked my daughter, you know, are you excited?
Right.
They allowed her to participate, put the gel on my belly, use the Doppler to listen. So it was very family engaging, which I really liked. You know, we're very close. So I like the fact that they included
you
know, my spouse and my daughter. And they listened to me. I mean, the appointments went from I'm in and out to about an hour long.
Okay. Just getting to know you and your family and really looking at you as a whole person.
Yeah. And making sure that I was comfortable before leaving the office and that I didn't have any, you know, questions that they didn't answer, and that I was comfortable with, you know, what was happening, what was going to happen. And if I needed any support outside of them, that they could, you know, provide references if needed.
Awesome. Now, one of the things you also mentioned, tell me about these cravings that you had.
Oh my goodness. So I had low iron and I was craving chalk, cleaning supplies, dust. It was, I mean, I was like gouging my hands in sanitizer and sniffing it like every 5 minutes to the point my husband had to hide sanitizer bottles because I was just, I mean, it just smelled so wonderful. And you know, I'm drooling over chalk, and I was even looking up edible chalk. I found that there was a thing as edible chalk for pregnant women.
I did not know that.
I never had that craving before. So when I brought it up to my midwife, they was like, let's check your iron. And my iron was extremely low, very low. And they had me take iron supplements, blood builders, I believe it was. And it helped a little bit. Those cravings didn't go away, but they weren't as high as they were in the beginning. I mean, I actually tried a piece of my daughter's chalk one day. And I mean, it tasted horrible, but it was
fun. No, it's this weird thing called pica, where if you have low iron and you just, it's like your body's craving strange things to try and find iron. Some people eat dirt, actually.
Yeah, I was at work cleaning. I was like, does your desk need to be cleaned? Just so I could touch Lysol wipes and then smell, just have the smell around.
It would just make you feel better, or you just...
For me, I was smelling. It was like...
Okay.
Yeah, I was embarrassed by it, but I couldn't control it either. So, I didn't try the chemicals. You know, I kind of stopped myself at the chalk.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So you were with midwives and you felt like things were great. You unfortunately had nausea. Did you have vomiting also, or just nausea?
Yes. I lived in my bathroom, nausea and vomiting. But luckily I was able to listen to my body. So I was never in a position where it just came. I was always ready and prepared.
Got it.
I just kind of like figured out the cues and went to the bathroom when I felt it was time. So
Got it. And you said that persisted your whole pregnancy?
My entire pregnancy.
Okay. And you did not have it that bad your first pregnancy?
I had it in the beginning and towards the middle, but I believe, I want to say maybe the last 4 to 3 months, it settled down and I was able to eat again and go out and enjoy the last few months of the pregnancy. Sure.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy to digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. In addition to its patented protein blend, their formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system and makes it an easy-to-digest formula. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code Dr. Nicole for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. And then the terrible pelvic pain. And when did you start seeing the chiropractor?
I believe I only went to her the last 2 months of my pregnancy. So it was okay. Very much towards the end. Mm-hmm. I started experiencing it more as I got farther along. So around 7 months, that's when I stopped working out because I couldn't stand a long, uh-huh. long periods of time, and it wasn't uh-huh. safe because I did a lot of strength training. Okay. And that's when I brought it to my midwife's attention and they suggested the chiropractor.
Got it. Okay. So all of those things going on, how did that make you feel about, because you said you definitely wanted to have an unmedicated or natural birth.
I started second guessing myself and whether or not this was even possible for me to have an unmedicated birth. I was becoming nervous. I'm like, I'm mm-hmm. experiencing all of this discomfort and this pain. How is a natural birth gonna work? Mm-hmm. So that's when I spoke with my husband. I was like, well, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading, looking at a lot of videos, and that's when I decided to find a doula to assist
okay.
me.
Okay. Yeah. So what was that process like, finding a doula?
Yeah, so I did it off of a lot of recommendations. There was one mm-hmm. doula in particular that I knew individuals that had worked with her in the past. She had, mm-hmm. you know, great reviews. I also had made a posting on Facebook and she mm-hmm. responded to it. And that's kind of okay. how that interaction started. Uh-huh. We had a little meet and greet over Zoom with my husband and we just kind of went over what I was currently dealing with, what I was mm-hmm. looking for, and mm-hmm. where she could assist me.
Right.
And within that service, she also had classes that we can attend once
okay.
a month.
Okay.
More so like open discussion. So there was other mothers there also mm-hmm. planning to have a natural birth. So
okay.
a lot of our questions kind of intertwined. And it was also another way to feel supported. Like, oh, you know, another mom has a similar concerns or questions
sure.
that I have.
Sure.
And that process was great up until it wasn't.
what happened?
So towards the final months, uh-huh. I want to say I had like maybe a month left uh-huh. and the communication just started to cut back a bit and the visits started getting canceled. So we had a visit that was supposed to be hands-on where my husband could help me with pressure points. My mom was also in attendance, so she could assist if my husband needed to step out.
Right.
And the day that she was supposed to come, we were waiting and she didn't show. I contacted her and she indicated that, you know, I should have sent out an email to reschedule, an email that I didn't receive. So we rescheduled. And then that turned into, well, you don't really need me there to show you how to do this. It can all be found in a video. And she started sending me links. So I started panicking because I'm like, my due date's only a few weeks away.
Right. Like
my husband and I have never had a natural birth. You
right.
know, I can watch this video and I can hope that I get it. But
right.
a part of the service was to have hands-on appointments
mm-hmm.
so we could feel comfortable in going into this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of just said, okay, I expressed to her, you know, I want to feel comfortable. I want to feel confident, you know, the day of. I want my husband to feel confident, you know, in assisting me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, you can reach out to me at any time and keep me updated. So I kind of just felt a little neglected.
Right.
You know, kind of left out to defend for myself a little bit and
right.
to rely on a video. I'm just like, I've been watching videos, but I wanted
to I paid you for some hands
yeah,
on. Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, we'll get to, I want to hold and see what happened when it came time to go into the birth and
yes.
how she played into it. But before that, let's talk about what did you do to prepare? Because it sounds like you did quite a bit.
I did. So, of course, the dieting, the working out, I watched a lot of birthing videos. Mm-hmm. I listened to your podcast religiously mm-hmm. on the way to work and at work. And there was actually a month where you were giving out free courses, and I got one of those courses. So
nice.
I took your course the last month of my pregnancy also.
I love it, love it, love it. So you were ready and prepared.
I was. Okay. I did everything okay. in my power. I started following a lot of social media that related just to natural birth. So how to breathe, uh-huh. Using your stability ball, how to stretch, squat, birthing positions.
Okay.
So I was really on it to the point where all of my feed and social media was nothing but birth.
And then was there anything in particular that you, like, were there any social media accounts or things in particular that you found pretty helpful?
Yes, there was one account in particular. I want to say, I hope I'm not botching the name, but mm-hmm. I want to say it's a working mama. She does a lot. She shows a lot of visuals and how the pelvic adjusts, depending on like what type of positions you push in, how much, it opens versus laying down and squatting. And I found that so interesting and helpful.
Okay. I'm gonna have to look that up. Yeah.
Because I never thought about like how I would push until I started watching your video. Wow, that is a way to push. I didn't know that.
Right. Okay. And then I take it for your first, you had an epidural.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I screamed for that epidural. Yeah. But surprisingly, I was supposed to have a natural birth with her, but it was told to me, oh, we're going to have a natural birth. You can do this. But there was no preparing. I was just, my OB just was having a natural birth. I wasn't really given a choice. It was like, you can do it. You're going to have a natural birth. We're going to have a natural birth. And then when I get to the hospital, I get induced, which was great. I've heard a lot of horror stories about induction. Sure. Mine was smooth sailing. I slept until I started feeling the contractions. I was like, wait a minute. I believe I got to 7 centimeters before I asked for the epidural. So, but when it came, I was not prepared for that feeling.
I
was like, this is intense. I need the epidural now. And then it came to, I need it now.
Right. Gotcha. So for this time, you said you wanted unmedicated or natural. What are some other things that you wanted for your birth?
Yes. So I wanted to labor majority of the time at home. I only wanted to go to the hospital when it was right then that, it was time to push. She was going to be entering. So I wanted to stay at home as long as I could. I wanted to be comfortable. I wanted to be able to be relaxed and enjoy the moment and embrace, what was happening with my body. I had a birth plan. It was spoken. It wasn't provided back to me.
Sure.
So originally, water, tub, low lights, instrumentals. I wanted a very intimate setting. So it was just going to be my husband and my mother. We didn't want any family members visiting the hospital. We weren't going to see anybody until we transitioned home. So I just kind of wanted to be in the mindset of comfort and didn't want to have any overwhelming feelings surrounding me. So that didn't happen,
What did happen then? Let's get into that. What exactly did happen?
It came very quick. My husband and I were home. Our daughter was asleep. We had just finished up watching a movie. I was drinking my red raspberry tea. I was like, I'm getting tired. I go get into bed and I start feeling like these cramps, but I had just had an appointment and I was only 3 centimeters.
Okay.
They weren't expecting anything to happen. Sure. So my due date.
And how many weeks were you?
I was 40 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. So my due date was the 28th and she was showing no signs of entering the world. They actually scheduled my appointments all the way out to July 11th.
Okay.
So I was just like, these are Braxton Hicks, I can just breathe through them.
Right.
And within 30 minutes, they just kept progressing and progressing. That's when I started my timer. And I was like, I called my husband. I was like, I think you need to stay in here close by. I was like, I feel like something's happening. And when I was doing my timer at that point, they were about like 9 9, 10 minutes.
Okay.
And within 20 minutes, they went to 5.
Okay.
And at that point, I told my husband, I was like, I believe you need to call the doula. I think this is happening, but right. I'm not sure.
Right.
So he called our doula, and it was almost kind of like we were bothering her, maybe. I was asking, you know, this is how far along they are. They seem like they're progressing. Should I stay home and breathe through it? Should I go to the hospital?
Right.
And the response was, you can go to the hospital if you want to. There was no coaching me through it, no listening to my breathing. And I was kind of confused. And my husband said, okay, we'll keep you updated. So he got off the phone, and I was just kind of, forget my contractions. I was like, what do we do?
Right.
You know, do I stay home? And at that point, I was like, let's call the midwife.
Mm-hmm.
So we called our midwife, and she stayed on the phone with us for about 30 minutes. She listened to me breathe. She timed the contraction. She was like, they're definitely progressing, but let's see what happens within an hour.
Okay.
She gave us her direct cell phone because, of course, we called the line. She was on call, but she gave her cell phone number. And we got off the phone with her, and we ended up calling her back in like 15 minutes because they were a minute apart.
Right.
So when we called her back, she could hear me breathing. She was like, oh, that progressed quickly. Come to the hospital now.
Okay.
It took me about 15 minutes to get out the house because every time I took a step, a contraction happened.
Oh, okay.
And I had to go upstairs still. So my husband had to assist me getting dressed and held me down the stairs.
Right.
And when we finally got outside, it was just so much pressure. I was just like, I don't know. I feel like she's coming. So we get into the car, and he's like one of those cautious drivers, and he has the hazard lights on, and he's going. So I was like, look, I know that you are trying to make me comfortable. I was like, but this baby.
It's time to go. Like, I need you.
I was like, I don't need you to, like, just turn the music off and go.
Go,
you know.
Right.
So we finally get to the hospital.
Far away do you live from the hospital?
It was about a 25-minute drive.
Okay. Longest 25 minutes of your life.
Longest drive of my life. Luckily, I took the expressway to get to VCU, but it was the longest drive of my life. When we finally got to the hospital, I want to say it was about like maybe 208, 209. We get to the hospital, they're checking us in. I can't stand. So of course they bring me the wheelchair. We finally get upstairs, and they was like, we're just going to get you to use the bathroom, Miss Armstrong. Just go to use the bathroom. I go use the bathroom, and I stand up and say, she's coming. I was like, she's coming. I have to push. So I'm pushing, and they're ripping me out of my clothes.
In the bathroom.
From the bathroom to the bed. Like, so
they're like,
to the bed. I'm waddling. They're taking off my pants, my socks. I get on the bed, and they was like, go ahead and push. And I'm like, at the head of the bed, just holding on and pushing down. I pushed for about 2 minutes, and she was here. So from the time we got to the hospital, she was born within 10 minutes of us getting to the hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, if we had waited, you know, I was like, if we had stayed home, she probably would have
Been born in the car.
Or in the car, but, you know.
Or at home.
Mm-hmm. As soon as we got to the hospital, she said, I'm entering.
She said, here I come. I'm coming. So somebody be there because I'm coming.
Yes. And the nurses were so amazing. It was like, we just got all of your paperwork and she's here already. I didn't have no IV,
nothing.
Anything. It was just from bathroom to bed and she was born.
As an OBGYN and podcast host, I'm excited to share a resource that empowers mothers and mothers-to-be in managing their pelvic floor and core health. It's called Informed Pregnancy Plus, and it offers access to essential workshops that can significantly enhance your understanding and care of your body during and after pregnancy. Discover The Core Connection, a foundational 5-episode series by Natalie Headings, a pre-postnatal exercise specialist. This series covers the basics of pelvic floor health, teaches key postural adjustments, and shows you how to activate your core properly. For a more comprehensive experience, check out Mindful Movement. This premium series provides in-depth content, including practical exercises and personalized strategies to strengthen your body. It's like having a pelvic health expert in your home. You can try the full subscription streaming library of Informed Pregnancy Plus absolutely free. Visit informedpregnancy.tv to start an empowered journey toward a healthier motherhood. Take this step for your health, your body, and your baby will thank you. Okay, so from when you had the first contraction to when she was born, that was what, maybe a couple hours?
It wasn't even a couple. So we called my in-laws around 1:45 to let them know, like, we need to go to the hospital. They came and got our daughter, and we got to the hospital, and
that was it.
Yeah, that was it. It was a very quick process.
How were you feeling? Because for some people, that can actually feel very overwhelming.
I had to remember my breathing, and that's all I could do. I was like, please don't let me have it. But it was amazing. I mean, I was expecting to be hollering and screaming and yelling and grabbing, you know, my husband by the arm. And I mean, as soon as I got in the room, it was, Jade, you can do this. You got it, mama. All the nurses were like, you're doing amazing. And I'm pushing. And it was just, as soon as she was out, it was like a relief. And okay. It was praises all around me from the staff. And, I mean, it was great. They helped me turn over, immediately put her on my chest. And I mean, it just was nonstop.
You said help you turn over.
I was facing the headboard. So my face was against the wall. So I was on
You were in hands and knees.
Hands and knees.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I just kind of climbed on the bed and started pushing.
Okay.
Yeah. They just gave me freedom to do. They just put me, you know, wanted to get me up on the bed safely. But other than that, it was like,
do push. What you got to do.
Yeah, right. Push, mama, you got it. And right. I just grabbed on the headboard and started pushing.
Okay, okay.
But the way that I pushed, you know, they grabbed her from behind. So uh-huh.
Yeah, so they had to kind of tuck her under and turn.
Yeah, yeah. So they had mm-hmm. to turn me and get mm-hmm. her safely from under my legs. So
yeah. And where was your doula in all of this?
So after Savannah was born, my husband contacted the doula, let her know. And I don't believe there was an immediate response. I also had my husband text her on the way to the hospital just to let her know we were on our way to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
We didn't hear back from her until maybe around 10 that morning. And Savannah was born around 2 that morning. So, yeah. So quite a bit of a delay. And when she was like, you know, glad to hear that, you know, you had a safe delivery. So I was expecting her to come to the hospital at least, but
right.
She sent me a text just as, you know, following up, just checking in to see how you were doing. I kind of gave her a full overview. You know, we transitioned upstairs, baby's latching on. She's doing well. And that was the last of the conversation. My text to her was the last of the conversation.
That was it.
Oh, so it was what I sent for my update was it. That was it. And I want to say I was supposed to have a home visit, you know, after the baby was, you know, transitioned at home.
Okay. And I assume by this point you had already paid her for her.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Services mm-hmm. were paid for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to come back to that, but let me back up real quick. Did you have to have any stitches or anything like that after your birth?
I did tear, but it was minimal, and it was, I was given the option. I could either allow it to heal naturally or mm-hmm. I could get the stitches. And after having a natural birth and pushing out the placenta, I think I had done enough. And I opted to just allow it to heal naturally.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I want to go through anything else.
Right.
And it should heal fine. And, you know, of course, they gave me the witch hazel and the patty.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. Okay. I had stitches the first time around. And I was like, no, we're not going to do it the second.
Got it. Okay. And then how was the postpartum period for you?
So after I had the baby, I felt amazing. It was almost as if I didn't just give birth. Mm. Like the very next day, I felt good. I was walking mm-hmm. unassisted. The first time I used the bathroom wasn't painful. I asked if I could go home that same day.
Okay.
And they allowed me to go home that same day. So we were only in the hospital one night.
Okay.
That one night, and I left. Now, emotionally afterwards is a different story. So physically, I was fine. Okay.
And do you feel like you felt better physically compared to your first birth?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think because I had that epidural, it took a while. I didn't feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. I felt uneasy. Mm-hmm. My body didn't feel like my own. Sure. I was in a lot of pain. Might have been because of the tearing and the stitches. But for this one, I don't know.
You were up
like my body finally agreed with me.
Right.
I couldn't think this was a pregnancy, sure. But after the baby, I felt great. I was walking. You know, we went on walks after, I want to say maybe 4 days. Okay. I was walking. Okay. I was up, moving around. I didn't need assistance getting in and out of the bed. So I felt really great physically.
Okay, awesome. But you said emotionally, maybe a different story.
Emotionally was very different for me. My mom was very concerned that I had postpartum depression.
Okay.
I felt alone. My husband was working. My daughter was in summer school, and I'm at home kind of by myself with a newborn. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really talking to anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I had texts, but I just felt in a bubble, trapped in a bubble, and the only person around was a baby that can't speak or, you know, comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel very supported by anybody, and I'm sure the support was there. I just didn't feel it.
Sure.
So I struggled a lot. It took a while for me to start feeling like me again.
Okay.
But I also was entering in my 30s, so it could have been a transition period for me also.
Sure.
But yeah, I struggled a lot this pregnancy afterwards, and I had to kind of do a lot of self-reflecting. Uh-huh. Like, Jade, you just had a baby. And I had a lot of people around me tell my, you know, give yourself some grace, you know.
Right.
Had a baby. This is new. You're a mom of two now.
Right.
You know, it's going to be a transition period. It's going to be a learning experience, and you have to kind of ease up on yourself. I was very hard on myself the first 2 months.
Okay. And what do you feel like helped you best to get through that?
I started creating a routine. I'm just like, if I'm going to be home by myself, I don't want to just lay in a bed with a baby. We started getting up, playing, watching, sensory shows. I started going walks outside. I got the little body wrap. I'm like, we're going to walk. We're going to get the sunlight. We're going to take a little drive. We're not going to go far, but, you know, just out, get dressed and feel like myself again.
Okay. So, and was your mom nearby, or was she from out of town?
So my mom worked at night. So usually during the day she slept. So she was definitely available as needed, but I had a tendency not to want to bother her. So I kind of just stayed in my own, you know, place and just counted down until summer school was over so I could have my husband back at home to help me.
Gotcha. Yeah. And did he have any leave at all? Like, how long was he able to?
No, he did no leave. So it was understood that, you know, I'm having a child and, you know, during the last few weeks, you know, I can be as needed. And his take on it was like, well, Jade, I'm only going to be gone for 4 hours. I'm like, 4 hours is a long time with a newborn. But, you know, my mother-in-law and my mom helped with our oldest, getting her out of the house just so I could have a little bit of, you know, a break, you know.
Right.
Two kids by myself, you know, it was a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. And then what about breastfeeding? Did you breastfeed?
Yes. So I did breastfeed, still breastfeeding.
Okay.
So breastfeeding was, the latching was difficult, but I ended up going to see a lactation consultant with VCU at their Children's Pavilion.
Uh-huh.
And those appointments were great. Similar to the midwives, VCU was just wonderful all together. So I went to the lactation consultant. They watched how I latched her on. They provided corrections. They also allowed me to see how many ounces she was taking in. So after they unlatched her, they put her on the scale. They moved her to the second breast. They helped me with positioning. Also being comfortable as well. You know, they was like, the baby can be comfortable, but, you know, moms need to be comfortable also.
Sure.
So they assisted me with how to lean back to get a deeper latch. And they showed me certain techniques to actually get the baby on. So as soon as I left their care, I mean, breastfeeding was amazing. I was like, oh, this is actually kind of easy.
Right. Good. And then how did your pelvic pain, did that resolve after delivery?
A little bit. So I still had moments where if I laid on my back, if I woke up, it was a lot of pain. So I started sleeping on my side a little bit more, started doing a little bit more exercise just for my pelvic region. I did a lot of deep squats, a lot of stretching. So just trying to kind of get back into the motion. My plan was to go back to the chiropractor just to see, you know, if any more adjustments were needed, but I haven't been back yet. You know, life.
Life happens. So right. Busy. Right. Yeah. Right. But. Gotcha. And I forgot to ask, did your insurance cover the chiropractor? Or did you have to pay out of pocket?
I had to pay out of pocket.
Okay. Yeah. That's often what happens. Okay. So how do you feel about everything?
So I went through my periods where I was dwelling on what could have happened, what should have happened. And overall, my prenatal care was amazing. I wouldn't change anything. I think if I could do it over, I believe I would have maybe spoke up a little bit more in regards to my doula services, just so we could be on one page and have a clear understanding of what I felt was happening and how we could you know, do better going forward and what support I was looking for.
Yeah, that was kind of, I mean, that was not what doula services should be. Yeah.
No. And my husband, you know, he's very quiet, but he also was very uncertain after a while. And he was just like, well, you know, what are we paying for? You know, is this what's supposed to happen? And my mom also started to chime in about, and she was like, you know, this is another appointment that was canceled. And, you know, there was additional services that were involved that I was supposed to receive that I never did, that I felt would have been very beneficial, like the hypnobirthing breathing techniques.
Right.
So I didn't receive any of those services. So I know, you know, if in the event that I have another pregnancy, I definitely will probably do a little bit more research or not kind of jump out at the first doula that reaches out to me, you know, just kind of look at different reviews and weigh my options a little more instead of, you know, I think I kind of jumped into it because I'm like, oh, I heard amazing things about her and she reached out, you know, this is a good sign. Rather than, you know, after that first meet and greet, you know, say, okay, well, you know, thank you for meeting with me. I'm going to kind of, you know, look at other places and then make my decision. I kind of just based my decision off of that one meet and greet that we had.
Yeah. That makes sense. So then as we wrap up, then what would be like your one piece of advice, favorite piece of advice that you would give to someone who's getting ready to have a baby?
Yeah, definitely prepare. You know, look into courses. I found it very beneficial. Things that I didn't think of, I learned about in your course. And even with the podcast, you know, listening to other women's stories and being relatable. And it's kind of like, wow, I didn't think about that or I didn't know about that. And it's something that I could take away. So I think some moms like, oh, you know, I can do this. I was made for this. But I do find, you know, those resources are very helpful with preparing for your birth because
100%.
You learn so much and you can, you know, gain a lot from it. And I think I did. I took a lot away from your podcast. I was writing my little notes. I'm like, I'm supposed to be working, but this is so helpful. Like, this, you know, this relates to my pregnancy. This is what I'm dealing with. Let me look at this.
Right. Y'all, I did not pay her to say that, I promise.
Well, you know, I had a family friend that I believe you are familiar with, and she always pushes for like birthing classes and preparing Keisha.
Yes. Yes, 100%. I love her dearly. So
she knew I was, when I told her I was ready for her, she's like, well, let me know if you have any questions. I mean, even after I had the baby, we had like a hour conversation about the whole birthing process. So
Right. Absolutely. Well, where can folks connect with you? You can say nowhere if you want.
Yeah, I'm usually on Instagram, which is j.tamaris, and that's T-I-M-A-R-I-S. or Facebook, which is just my first and last name, Jade Armstrong.
Okay. All right. Well, Jade, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the podcast. I so, so appreciate you sharing your story.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. I enjoyed it. And I still enjoy your show, even though I'm not pregnant. You know, I still listen to it, you know.
Aw, I love it.
Another baby will be here and then I'll be.
Okay. There. All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. All right. Wasn't that a great episode? Jade has such lovely energy. I really, really enjoyed chatting with her. Just a great birth story. And I really appreciate her coming on. Now, after every episode, when I have a guest on, I do something called Dr. Nicole's Notes, where I talk about my top takeaways from the conversation. Here are my Dr. Nicole's notes from my conversation with Jade. Number one, get help, accept help. Help can be so crucial during pregnancy. Jade had a chiropractor that was helpful. Some other things that are going to be helpful potentially are a lactation consultant. I think definitely pelvic physical therapy could be helpful as well. So sometimes you need to get help. So check out those things and get that help when you need it. All right. Number two, speaking of help, you do have to do your due diligence with the help that you get. You want to be sure that you get people who are competent, trained, and will be there when you need them. I'm speaking specifically about, well, of course, that's the case, whether it's a chiropractor, you want someone who has experience during pregnancy, a pelvic physical therapist who has experience during pregnancy, a board certified lactation consultant. But I want to say a word about doing your due diligence with doulas. I think sometimes because the media portrays doulas in a largely positive light, as they should, because doulas provide a lot of help, support, and things during pregnancy. Sometimes people skip during doing their due diligence and they don't realize or know that they should be asking more questions about working with doulas. They're like, oh, you're a doula? Okay, it's going to be great. Without asking those questions to make sure it's a good fit, to make sure you understand what you're getting, to make sure you're getting your money's worth when you decide to hire a doula. And to be clear, I love doulas. Doulas are important. Doulas help improve outcomes. But again, they're humans, and you have to, in any relationship with a human being, make sure you do your due diligence to know that that person is doing the things that you need to support you, okay? And I'm not saying, of course, that Jade didn't do her due diligence. I'm just saying, in general, do your due diligence. That's one of the things that I have inside of the birth preparation course, my online childbirth education class, is a checklist of things that you can ask, of questions that you can go through and ask when you are hiring a doula so that you know what you're getting into and you know that you can find someone who is a good fit for you. So do your due diligence with doulas. And if you want to learn more, check that out inside the birth preparation course. The course is drnicolerankins.com/enroll. All right. Next is having a supportive team can make all of the difference, just all of the difference. The encouragement that Jade had from her nurses and the midwives she worked with just made a huge difference. So you really want to be sure as best that you can that you have good support lined up during your pregnancy and for your birth experience. It just makes a huge, huge, huge difference. Okay. And then the final thing that I want to say is that every pregnancy is different, all right? And you will not have control over that. There's so much about how your pregnancy unfolds that you will not have control over. But what you absolutely do have control over is preparing. So you can prepare as best you can. Preparing is going to be asking questions. Preparing is going to be childbirth education. I will die on the hill of every person having a baby needs to do some sort of childbirth education. And I, of course, have an option, the birth preparation course, but you need to do something. There are lots of options out there. Find something that works for you and do it. Again, you can't control what happens during pregnancy, but you can control how you prepare. And that can make a huge, huge difference in your experience. All right. So definitely, definitely, definitely prepare. All right. So there you have it. Do me a solid and share this podcast with a friend or two or three or four, anyone who you think may find this podcast helpful. Sharing is caring, and it helps me to reach and serve more pregnant folks. My mission, passion, and purpose is helping every person having a baby be treated with compassion, dignity, and respect, have that beautiful birth experience they deserve, and providing this information in the podcast so that people can advocate for themselves is one of the ways I do that. So please share this with a friend. Also, subscribe to the podcast wherever you are listening to me right now so you do not miss an episode. And let me know what you think about the show. Shoot me a DM on Instagram. I'm on Instagram at Dr. Nicole Rankins. And while you are over on the gram, follow me on Instagram as well. I provide great content there, and it's a great way for us to connect outside of the podcast. All right, so that's it for this episode. Do come on back next week. And remember that you deserve a beautiful pregnancy and birth.